You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of Future Brew right here on maizeandbrew.com. I am Vaughn Lozon. Steven Ossentoski will not be with us this week, but we still have the one and only John Simmons, recruiting aficionado here at maizeandbrew.com. John, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Vaughn, June's right around the corner, getting ready to see some visitors on campus.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about that earlier today. It's funny you bring that up, and I was like, wow, it's May 17th already as the time and day that we're recording, May 17th. And I was like, man, we're getting close to these visitors that we've been talking about getting to campus and checking stuff out, and we are just inching our way closer to that. So we're not going to talk about any visitors today, but just general excitement brewing here, at least for you and I, it sounds like. I'm sure a lot of the other Michigan recruiting fans are also ready to check out these kids on campus and see how it all goes. But today we're going to kind of dive into something that we talked about a little bit last week, but we'll break it down more for you today. So last week we discussed the departure of Mo Linguist, how it would impact the recruitments of these 2022 prospects. Well, Jim Harbaugh probably thought about it very similarly because he went out and got really the next best guy, in my opinion, and that's Steve Klinkscale. Was coaching the corners at Kentucky the last several years, is known for his recruiting chops, has ties to the state of Michigan and to the state of Ohio. So he's it pretty much an instant upgrade to Michigan's presence in both states. There obviously already have been doing well in the state of Michigan with guys like Ron Bellamy. Sharon Moore has been very good in the state as well, but getting Klinkscale, it's only going to help them that much more. Obviously you want to have a good presence in Ohio as well. So he's going to instantly upgrade Michigan's presence in Ohio and in Michigan. John, we talked about last week about how Klink was really the number one guy for the job and how this would be a massive addition to the Michigan coaching staff. Mo Linguist was also a very good hire. So given the circumstances of his departure to the University of Buffalo for the head coaching job that they had vacant, quite honestly, really don't think Michigan could have done much better here. Is that kind of how you feel as well?
Yeah, I think they did pretty well given the situation. I know, you know, last week we were recording on Monday and my closing comments were just to get it done early as soon as possible. And I think he was already announced by the time our podcast posted. So I think they really had a sense of urgency, which is going to help a lot and keep that continuation going. And I think Klinkscale is going to do a good job maintaining those relationships, just because he's already been recruiting a lot of Michigan's top targets. So he already, you know, has been talking with them. He's in the Midwest a lot. So I think he already has a good rapport with these guys and their families, which I think will definitely help that continuity a lot. And we'll keep things patched up on that end.
Yeah, you bring up how speed was a factor here, how quick it was to get him on board. We talked about that last week a little bit too, about how speed and how quickness here was going to be a necessity in getting this hire made, whoever it ended up being, whether it was Klink or somebody else, didn't matter. They had to do it quick. And it took all of a week for Linguist to be officially named the head coach at Buffalo and for Klink to walk through the doors of Schembechler Hall. So all in all, really fast hire. Not much really had to be done, in my opinion. I mean, I don't have any intel on this, but not really much had to be done other than the specifics within the contract. To me, it really just seemed like Harbaugh picked up the phone and there was just an instant connection between him and Klink. So he had the opportunity in the contract to be the co-defensive coordinator in year two, if all goes well. So again, the speed, a very important factor, in my opinion, as to why this is such a great hire. It didn't take much convincing, really, to get Klink on board. And the fact that he's an ace recruiter and has developed some of these defensive backs at Kentucky to get drafted to the NFL goes to show the type of coach that Michigan is getting out of him, John.
Yeah, for sure. I think he's done a good job both as a developer and on the field, and I think Michigan was able to hire him pretty quickly just because it was you know, he's been on Harbaugh's mind for a while. I think I don't think he was officially offered when Michigan was searching for a defensive backs coach after Mike Zordich left. But he was on the shortlist then. He was on the shortlist before. They're looking for a secondary coach. So I think, you know, this time the timing just worked perfectly for both sides. And I think, you know, they got one of the rising stars in the industry who's done a really good job at Kentucky. He's improved their secondary a lot. So I think he's kind of the best of both worlds here.
Yeah, he is definitely an up-and-comer in the business. Michigan State made a run for him earlier this offseason, too. Mel Tucker tried to get him on his coaching staff, it sounded like. So really good addition to the coaching staff. It really goes to show how quick all of this really gets done with the Linguist departure, getting Klink in. And you were right earlier how the announcement was made before our podcast was even posted. I was sitting there. I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Like, I didn't think it would be that fast. But it really goes to show how fast some of these things can develop from time to time. Let's take a deeper look at the recruiting aspect, though, as well. Just for example, the top two players that Klink ever recruited to Kentucky during his time there are from the state of Michigan, Justin Rogers and Marquand McCall. You might remember those two guys from a few cycles ago, two real good lineman prospects coming out of high school. But you know, some of these guys in this class, this 22 class that Michigan is in on, Klink has been recruiting while he was at Kentucky. He did end up getting a commitment from a Michigan target, four-star linebacker Keaton Wade. And he was also after a guy that we've talked about a lot here on this podcast, and that is three-star cornerback Miles Pollard, who has been very open about how much he loved the Klink hire for Michigan. And I thought Michigan led before Klink scale came to town, John, but now I really believe Michigan is ahead of the pack. What say you?
Yeah, definitely. I think it only improves Michigan's stock in his eyes. I think Klink scale is getting, you know, dipping his toe more into the state of Tennessee, this cycle where Pollard is from. So I think he's gaining some more experience there. And I think he really connected with Pollard and his family. So I think it's, you know, Michigan was already sitting really well. And, you know, before Klinkscale made the move, it seemed like Kentucky was kind of moving up the board and was going to make a run at him. But now that you bring Klinkscale to Michigan, it just kind of combines the appeals of both schools of that. And I think Pollard said that, you know, Klink was one of the best, was one of the coaches he had the best relationship with. So I think it's a matter of time with Pollard. I know he's coming up for a June visit, I think on the 11th. So I think he could be even on limit watch there.
I think so too, because when that news was official, I reached out to Miles Pollard, said, you know, how big is this for Michigan that they hired a coach that you're very familiar with? And he said that it was huge and that they talk a lot. And I just asked him straight up if this increased Michigan's place on his top list. And he gave me the shrug emoji and said, can't tell you that yet. So take that for what it's worth. But I would imagine that at this point in time, Michigan probably leads for Miles Pollard, not just because of the Klink hire, but it definitely helped. If anything, it definitely did not hinder Michigan's chances of landing him. But certainly something to look at moving forward, especially with his official visit coming up here very soon. So let's talk about Keaton Wade, though, for a sec, John. I mentioned him briefly a little bit earlier, four-star linebacker prospect that Michigan was on before he committed to Kentucky. Now, it sounds like it's kind of a package deal because he committed with his brother, his twin brother, who is a quarterback prospect. It didn't really seem like Michigan was interested in his brother at the quarterback position. Do you think at this time with the Klink hire that they'll kind of reevaluate things because of how much they liked Keaton Wade originally, or do you kind of think that this is all set in stone at this point?
Yeah, that was one thought that I had. You know, I'm not sure how much pull, you know, Klinkscale have being the new guy in staff and being like a defensive back coach that's pretty far away from the offense and the quarterback position. So I'm not sure how much, you know, input he'll have in making Destin Wade a take for the program. But I think he would, if Michigan decided to pursue those two, I think they would have a pretty good shot because Michigan was recruiting Keaton Wade, the linebacker, for a while and was one of their top targets. But it just always kind of seemed like a moot point if they weren't going to offer his brother, since they're twins and are pretty clearly going to go to the same school. So if Klinkscale was able to convince Matt Weiss and Josh Gattis that they to take Destin, then I could see it changing. But I think they'd have to strike out on their other targets, maybe even singular target, just Nate Johnson, before they kind of pursued those other options.
Yeah, I kind of think that ship has sailed. And for good reason. You don't want to waste your time, and you don't want to waste the kids' time either. So I would anticipate them probably, even with the Klink addition, he was obviously very integral in their decision to commit to Kentucky. So kind of feel bad for them at this point. But I don't think Michigan would revisit it unless for some reason they strike out with some of their other quarterback prospects that are on the board. Nate Johnson being really that tip-top guy, I would not anticipate much going from there. Now, when it comes to some of these other prospects that Michigan is in on in this class, obviously they're Walter Nolan, for example, being the number two overall player in the country, number one defensive tackle. He's from the state of Tennessee. And you mentioned how Klink's presence in the state of Tennessee has kind of increased with this recruiting cycle. And in my opinion, I think it would be a good idea to kind of throw Klink into the recruitment of some of these kids, especially the top prospects like Walter Nolan, who's from the state of Tennessee, very well familiar with the likes of Sean Nua, Mike McDonald, obviously Will Johnson, the cornerback commit, five-star player that Michigan has already in its 22 class. I think it might be good to get Klink familiar with some of these other top prospects that they're in on, just because A, he is a really good recruiter and has proven that over the years during his time at Kentucky. B, in my opinion, to get another defensive coach in on a guy like Nolan kind of just goes to show that they want the entire defensive coaching staff to be in on a kid like that. Really makes him a priority and it can definitely not hurt, in my opinion, especially if it's a recruiter like Klink. Now, there are a few other guys that you could probably throw them in on in regards to Some of these other defensive prospects like Marquise Groves-Killebrew being a guy we've talked about recently, a top 100 cornerback. He'll probably want to familiarize himself with him, given that he's going to be in on an official visit next month as well. Maybe a Sebastian Cheeks recruitment, a Justin Finkley recruitment. You can't really go wrong. Jaden Gold being a guy that we've talked about ad nauseum, has held off on a commitment. Has not even scheduled a visit, to my knowledge, at this point to Michigan. But definitely, I think it would be a good idea to throw him in on some of these higher-end defensive prospects that they're in on in their recruitments. Nolan obviously being the cream of the crop there as the number two overall player. But what do you think of my potential strategy there? I don't know if they're going to do that or not, but if I were Michigan trying to increase the recruiting game, kind of just – you know, with Clint coming in and them kind of changing up some of the positions with Ashen Larkins and Christina DeRuiter coming onto the staff now, really looks like they're honing in on the recruiting aspect of things. I think throwing Clint on every defensive prospect that you would want, I think that would go a long way.
Yeah, I think it never hurts to have an extra guy chipping in on a recruitment. I think that they kind of had Linguist doing that too with a lot of defensive prospects. You know, he was helping out with Nolan because he had those connections specifically in Memphis. So I think he was kind of a secondary recruiter there. So I think Clink should try to replicate that as well. You know, Marquise Groves-Killebrew was a guy that Linguist was connecting with, and he came out and said already that he's still going to come up for a visit, which is good news for Michigan. So we'll hopefully Clint can keep that relationship going too throughout the transition. So, you know, Cheeks is a Midwest guy. He's from Illinois. So I'm sure Clint has recruited in that state before. I'm not sure how him and like Vince Mero split it up, but I bet he's gone into that state before. So I think he definitely has the versatility to recruit, you know, all the different positions. And even, you know, there's guys like Amir Herring, who went to West Bloomfield. He's an offensive lineman, but he was being recruited by Clint because he's from the state of Michigan and that was his territory. So even some offensive guys have relationships with him too, especially if they're in state. So just wherever he has experience, I think you can throw him at a guy.
Yeah, I agree. I think you make a good point about a guy like Amir Herring, who, I mean, at this point, it looks like he's a Michigan lean. With the crystal balls and everything that he's been saying about the Wolverines, everything like that, obviously being well connected with Ron Bellamy, I would imagine that Clink would get in on that recruitment as well, given his ties to the state of Michigan. And he's probably very familiar already with a kid like Herring. So yeah, I'm with you. I think it would be a good strategy, and it would be nice to see if they're really, really trying to hone in on the recruiting aspect of things like they've been trying to do, at least with the switch up of the titles for Larkin and or Larkins and some of these other folks on the staff. I think that would go a pretty decently long way here. So, John, any other final thoughts about this Clint hire recruiting with him? Anything in general?
Speaking of West Bloomfield, it kind of seems weirdly that the one guy that the hire hasn't really helped with is Dylan Tatum, who was going to commit to Michigan, it seems like, soon, but then, because he was really into Linguist, but then pushed it back because of the Clink hire. And, you know, it kind of seems like him and Clink didn't get off on the right foot when he was recruiting in like Kentucky. I don't know what went down there or anything, but I know, like, Ron Bellamy's, you know, talking him up and telling him he's going to be his position coach more often than Clink's, and I still think he'll end up going to Michigan just because of that factor, and he has a bunch of teammates on the team. But I just thought it was funny that the guy who's, you know, one of the bigger leans to Michigan, it actually made him take a step back, even though I still think they'll get him in the fold.
Yeah, that was interesting seeing that reaction from Dylan Tatum. And there was a story on the Michigan Insider. I think Sam Webb wrote that one. Was a free article on there detailing how he had the commitment video ready. He was ready to make his commitment, and then that changeup happens. And not really sure. Do you know why? I mean, it sounded like Tatum, it sounds like he's being recruited to play safety. So I'm not sure exactly why the corner coach would be important there.
I think they're targeting him for that nickel position, which is kind of like a hybrid. You know, it's for some package. You can play cornerback or safety, depending on, you know, what the assignment is. So he could see some time being coached up by Klink. But I think Bellamy is telling him, like, you know, he'll be in the room for the majority of the time with him as a safety. So I guess it just depends on the scheme.
Interesting. Okay. So, yeah, some positional flexibility there then, it sounds like. So I can certainly see why he would be a little concerned. I mean, I kind of detailed it last week a little bit with, you know, if I were a kid and seeing all these coaching changes, I would be a little concerned. I would at least take a step back and want to learn more about everything going on. And I feel like that's probably what Tatum is doing. He's going to do his due diligence, and I agree with you. I think he'll end up in Michigan's class at some point if they still want him to join their class, which I would anticipate them wanting to. He's a four-star in-state prospect with his former high school football coach on the roster, or on the coaching staff, I should say. It just seems like a walk in the park recruitment there, quite frankly. So I would say to any skeptical Michigan fans there, give it time. I think things will go the way that you would probably want it to go at some point. So, yeah, I mean, I would say solid hire with Klink Scale. I think it's going to help recruiting immediately. And I would anticipate the state of Ohio being a heavy point of contact there for him as well. So, John, any other final thoughts before we move on here?
Nope. I think that's everything.
Okay. Well, we will take a break, and we're going to talk on the other side of the break about a defensive player in the transfer portal that looks like Michigan may lead with. So stick around. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But for now, we're going to talk about our sponsor here on Maize Brew Podcast, and that is Home Field, the premium collegiate apparel brand based out of Indianapolis. Not only is their stuff comfy, but it is officially licensed gear. So they really do not screw around when it comes to their designs. And the team over at Home Field, they study every school's history, traditions, legacies. And with all of that, they create thoughtful designs that tell the unique story of each university. And they've got some really great Michigan original designs you won't find anywhere else, whether it's t-shirts, crew necks, whatever it is, they've got it. If you're looking for some of that vintage apparel, go over to homefieldapparel.com today. Use our promo code MNB to get 20% off the entire first order. So if you want to order three things, five things, you don't have to just order one thing. You can get multiple things. You'll get it all 20% off. Homefieldapparel.com. Go there today.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. Let's finish today's podcast discussing a guy in the transfer portal who Michigan is taking a very close look at, and that is former Oregon State defensive tackle Jordan Whitley. He's listed at 6'1", 358 pounds, so he really fits the bill for what Mike McDonald is looking for out of that D-tackle position in his scheme that he is bringing to Ann Arbor. And a little bit of concern here, though, John. Whitley sat out the entire 2020 season. Doctors discovered a tumor on his heart. And it sounds like he has since recovered from that. But other than that, he has also had his fair share of injuries throughout his career. So a little bit of concern there. Believe it or not, Whitley was a running back coming out of high school. He signed with San Jose State, but due to academic issues, never actually played there. So he went to the JUCO route, signed with Laney College, and he suffered a season-ending injury early in his career there. It sounded like it was a torn ACL. It was during that recovery process from that season-ending injury where his eating habits kind of went downhill. He put on a lot of weight. That's when he switched from being a running back to being a D tackle permanently. So after two seasons at Laney College, transferred to Oregon State, and it is there in 2019 where he racked up 14 tackles and 3.5 tackles for loss during that 2019 season. Obviously, then sat out all of last year with that tumor discovered on his heart. As of right now, John, he only has one other offer to his name. That is the University of Alabama, Birmingham. But he has also reportedly had discussions with Ole Miss and Tennessee. With all this said, Sam Webb and Steve Lorenz have both put in crystal balls for Michigan to land Whitley. And Webb interviewed him recently, and Whitley admitted Michigan's number one right now. So at this point, John, I would be absolutely floored if Michigan didn't end up landing him. What say you?
Yeah, I think I liked reading that interview he did with Sam Webb just because he was very frank and open about his process and everything. And he basically just said, you know, I'm interested in schools that are interested in me. And Michigan, you know, was one of the first to contact me. And so, you know, I'm obviously looking them at an option because they're one of the only two schools to offer me. So he didn't really sugarcoat it and just like, yeah, I don't care where it is. If I make it to the NFL, I'll have to travel all over. So Michigan made the effort. So I'm going to, you know, reciprocate that interest. So I think that Michigan put themselves in a good spot by being so quick to be on him before the other schools and grabbing his attention. And, you know, there's a lot of question marks about his game. You know, you recapped, you know, a lot of his path to getting here and all the twists and turns. And so, you know, I wouldn't be expecting him to be like a starter even or getting a ton of snaps, or maybe just a guy for depth that you can put in, you know, 10, 20 snaps a game and give you good, you know, solid B plus type play, kind of like Matt Godin. Remember him back in like the 2016 team? You know, he was technically a starter, but he was more of a, you know, guy that would just, you know, maintain a solid floor and, you know, not maybe not make a ton of game breaking plays, but can do his job and stick to his assignment. So I think that's what kind of they're looking for in Whitley here.
Yeah. And I would anticipate them kind of being or he would end up being a depth piece as well. You know, to me, though, John, I'll be honest. This is one of those recruitments where you want to trust the coaching staff as much as possible. There's obviously some potential with Whitley, but there are just so many red flags when it comes to Michigan possibly taking him in as a transfer. Obviously, it would only be for one season, so not really a huge deal in the grand scheme of things. This is actually going to be his seventh year in college. So, again, a grad transfer, one and done kind of thing for Whitley. But with the injury history, with the heart condition, I would be really cautious here in this recruitment if I were Michigan. But if they think it's safe to take him in and all these issues are behind him, then yeah, Whitley would definitely add depth to the defensive tackle position. He would compete with the likes of Donovan Jeter, Mozzie Smith, those kinds of guys, the true freshmen that they brought in. But I don't think that this would not be like a Mike Dana-esque addition where he comes in, he's going to rack up the stats, he's going to make game-changing plays consistently. He's going to be doing the dirty work as a 6'1", 358-pound human being would probably do. Probably not going to put up 10 tackles a game. He's not going to be that kind of player. He would be a depth guy. Whether he starts or not is to be determined, but at the very least, he would be competition for the other guys. He would be able to kind of just fill in where he needs to be filled in at, maybe groom along these true freshmen, you know, like Rayshon Benny, Ike Iwana, some of these other defensive tackles that they're going to probably be relying on sooner rather than later, to put it in a nice way. So again, not It wouldn't be a flashy pickup by any means, John. He would be doing the dirty work. He's not going to put up eye-popping stats on the box score. But at the end of the day, it would be a decent depth piece here if all of the, you know, the heart condition, the injury, the academic issues that he had early in his college career, if all those are behind him, then yeah, I think this would be a decent addition. Are you concerned at all with any of this stuff going on with him?
Yeah, I think it doesn't concern me too much. I think he's kind of figured it out by this point. You know, he's older than a lot of other recruits, you know, seventh year in college. I think he's 26 or 25, which is he'd probably be the oldest guy on the team. So I think he's matured now, and I think he has a sight set on, you know, continuing his football playing career. So I think he'll be able to handle it. And it, you know, it kind of reminds me of the Willie Allen transfer, you know, in that he was a guy that signed out of high school, had to go the JUCO route, then went to a school and then wanted to get his chance to prove it at a bigger stage at Michigan. And, you know, he wasn't really expected to be a starter, but more to push the other guys. And, you know, like we saw with Allen, you know, he transferred out once it was likely wasn't really going to see a lot of playing time, and, you know, no harm, no foul on Michigan's part here. So, you know, it's only a one-year scholarship. It kind of reminds you of just signing like a one-year deal in baseball or something. You know, that's the adage, is there's no what bad one-year contracts, because, you know, you can just wash your hands after it. So I think it's a good guy to take a risk on. And, you know, if it doesn't pan out, then whatever, you just have the scholarship available for the next year.
Let me turn the conversation just a smidge here, John. The fact that, I mean, they've been looking for help defensively in the portal for months, and they've had their names threw their name into the ring for several of these, you know, higher end defensive guys, you know, Jordan To'o being probably the biggest one. They were never going to get him, being an SEC kid who wound up at Alabama from Tennessee. But there were a few of these other guys that they were in on that, for whatever reason, didn't really seem like they showed mutual interest. Now, Jordan Whitley, he's been reached out to by a few schools, only has two offers, with Michigan being one of them, UAB being the other. Obviously, Michigan is the top choice for him. It would be a no-brainer for him to go to Michigan because it presents the best opportunity. He's going to be Michigan, let's just, you know, put it in easy terms here, has better facilities, better everything than UAB does. There's no question about that. Do you find it concerning at all that it took this long into the offseason for them to even get a recruit in the transfer portal where he openly admits that, yeah, Michigan's the leader in my recruitment now? They were like the first school to reach out to me. Do you find it concerning at all that this is the guy? And I'm not trying to bash Jordan Whitley by any means. I assume that he is a fine young man that is capable of playing the defensive tackle position. But do you find it concerning or just interesting at all that this is the kid that they, in my opinion, they probably will end up getting, but that this is the kid that they are competing with at the highest level? Because all these other guys, the linebacker from Western Michigan ended up going to Arizona, didn't end up getting him. Diallo, the D tackle from CMU, I still don't think he even found new school. I mean, all of these guys that they've went after, and this is the guy that I assume they're going to land. It's just interesting to me, John, is all.
Yeah, I don't know what's been really going on, how interested these other guys have been in Michigan or not. You know, they'll offer someone, but they'll end up going somewhere else. You don't really hear, like, if they've been pursuing the person a lot, like going after him hard, or if they just kind of offered him and didn't think he was as good of a fit as some other schools did. So, you know, this one with Whitley kind of strikes me as maybe Courtney Morgan had something to do with it here. He's a West Coast kid from like the Bay Area. San Jose State offered him when he was coming out of JUCO, and UCLA had interest. I'm not sure where Morgan was at that point when he was coming out, but either school had at least some interest in him. So it makes me think that he's evaluated Whitley before and liked what he saw. So that's kind of where I'm where I think the interest is coming from, is that Courtney Morgan connection to the West Coast. So maybe he just has seen him and remembered him from previous cycles and liked his game and is willing to take a chance on him. So that would kind of be my theory.
It probably is. And I hadn't even really thought about that, if I'm being honest with you, with the whole Courtney Morgan West Coast connection. It's very possible. I mean, he's been out, Whitley has, on the West Coast for his entire career. And obviously, if he leaves the West Coast, it'll be because of a West Coast guy like Courtney Morgan, I would assume is probably one of the main ones who he has been in connection with there. But yeah, just certainly interesting that Michigan is now making headway with a player in the transfer portal after about 6 months of them really trying to go after some. I just recall all of these guys that we were breaking down in the portal that Michigan was reaching out to. There was the D tackle from Penn State, and there were some other guys thrown in the mix there, but nothing really materialized until now. And it just came out of nowhere. I mean, it developed quick. So, you know, John will be interested to see if this podcast ends up getting posted before Whitley even commits to Michigan at this point, just kind of like the whole Clink thing from last week. I know that in the article with Webb, it said that he was looking to do it within a couple weeks, but in my opinion, I wouldn't be shocked if it ends up happening sooner.
Yeah, with our luck, it probably will. recording.
It would be.
Yeah. He may be waiting for, you know, some more interest or, you know, other schools to end up offering him. So who knows? I think he could, I could see him taking a visit to Michigan and then committing after that, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we certainly will see. Any other final thoughts, John, on the transfer portal here, or just anything recruiting wise that we've kind of discussed in this segment here in general?
No, not really. I think we covered it all.
Well, we hope to have Stephen back next time. Little housekeeping note here. We will not be back next week. I am going to be out of town indulging in the streets of Nashville, Tennessee. So if you spot me there, say hi. No reason for you to recognize me whatsoever. But in the event it happens and you live in Nashville, come say hi. But we will be back the following week. But until then, I am Vaughn Lozon. You can follow me on Twitter at Vaughn_Lozon. John, where are you at, my friend?
At Simmons_John.
And follow Maize and Brew on Twitter, Facebook, Insta, all that stuff. And be sure to go to the YouTube channel as well. Give Steven Ossentoski's work a subscription, a like, all that good stuff. We would really appreciate it, trying to grow that YouTube channel. And with every video, every subscription, every like, that just keeps happening. So thank you for all that support and the continued support. And be sure to subscribe to all of the podcasts here on the Maize and Brew Podcast Network. Give us 5 stars, all that good stuff. We'd really appreciate it. So again, we'll be back in a couple weeks with the next edition of Future Brew here. For John Simmons, I am Vaughn Lozon. We'll talk to you then. Go Blue.